You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Walking Dead After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Walking Dead After Show.
All right, thank you for joining us, everybody. Another AfterBuzz podcast, Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 9, entitled Trigger Happy. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by the lovely and talented Melina Perez. Say hello to our audience first.
Oh, hello.
There it is. Thank you.
Hello, hello.
And also the very talented and rakishly handsome John Hennigan.
I was just about to comment on you not calling me lovely, but rakishly handsome.
Yeah.
What a compliment.
And then, of course, sitting next to me, we got Ben.
There's me.
So,
yeah. we gotta come up with something for Ben.
No, we don't.
The quick witted.
And in the booth, we've got the producer extraordinary Phil Svitek.
Welcome, welcome. And it's actually called Trigger Finger. Trigger Finger. Not Trigger Happy.
Oh, man, I was misinformed.
Yeah. I think Trigger Happy is that Weird Al Yankovic song.
Trigger Finger. Beg your pardon. Well, speaking of Trigger Finger, we got the shootout in the OK Corral today, which was nice. We got the bar scene happening. I mean, it was kind of Western-like. We had people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. You know what was nice is I love seeing Rick. Well, last week it was great to see him do the shootout, and that was amazing. And the angle they first revealed him on, that little Dutch angle they had of the uplook on him, very smartly done. But yes. Then what was nice is we got some human antagonists in this, and not so much the walkers coming at them, but we didn't get to see any of them except for the one they shot, but they were there. So I thought it created as we were watching, you were saying that it was really intense there.
Absolutely, and I think you made a great point. Like they ended the episode perfectly last week. Yeah. I think like some really great action, and I think they started it keeping the action, which is awesome, because instead of like starting slow and having a lot of characters like talk about their feelings and their inner monologues, which sometimes happens on this show, it was nice that they started like picked up right where they left off. Uh-huh. Their friends did show up, and they're right back, and like they're still in that tension that they created last episode.
Yes.
And Herschel picked up a gun, so we got to see that he was adept at that.
You know what's funny? We just, Melina and I watched Judge Dredd a few days ago.
Nice.
And we saw Herschel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was a mutant in Judge Dredd.
Okay.
With like some awesome. Like mutant family, and they were cannibals.
Okay.
Which is
interesting.
A little factoid.
He's on the other side of the cannibalism thing.
Yeah, he was the one that was actually trying to eat the people in Judge Dredd, and now he's a regular person trying to not be eaten. Like,
AfterBuzz exclusive right there. Nobody else
you know what's interesting about that?
What is interesting about that, Phil?
Well,
Which one, Judge Dredd or Walking Dead?
Well, I'm gonna speak to Walking Dead.
We'll go back to
Herschel. Yeah. You know, the fact you bring up the gun and things like that, and when Rick says to him, you know, you should have learned how to shoot, and I like how Herschel throws it back in his face because, you know what, it's more of a choice for him.
Yeah.
And the few times he does arm himself with a gun, it's by his choice, and it's very select.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's not a random thing as opposed to Shane.
And especially it's people who deserve to be shot, you know what I mean, rather than just if they're a walker or not. You know what I mean?
I think that's a great point, and maybe that's why he identifies with Rick so much. Because I do think Rick goes by that same mantra. People and walkers, but mostly people that deserve to be shot get shot by Rick. Whereas maybe Shane is a little bit more lenient on the deserve category.
His continuum is a little skewed.
Yeah.
Fat guy and me getting away from the walkers. I'll shoot the fat guy.
Yeah,
that's it.
So awful. Poor Otis.
Yeah, I know. That was because Otis, we liked Otis. We didn't want to see him get eaten.
He was a good guy.
Yeah, poor thing. But that's the difference. Like, what's awesome is I think, like, last episode when when Rick did shoot those two people, it made you question, like, is he going the same route as Shane? But they were kind of in the same situation because they all had somebody else, like their family, to think about.
Right.
They had Lori and Carl. But the thing is that Otis was an innocent bystander. And as a sheriff, mm-hmm. these two guys that came in with a gun, it definitely was a kill or be killed situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you guys drew.
They drew for their guns, yeah. So he had to shoot them.
Right.
Granted, he didn't have to kill
and,
them.
And, you know, go ahead, Phil. Were you saying something?
No.
Okay. Well, in this episode, I thought they did a great job of having that external force be there. And clearly, Rick didn't want to shoot. He just wanted them to go away. He's trying to negotiate with them. He's trying to speak reason to them.
He felt guilty and said it.
But they drew. We had to. Everybody's lost people. We don't need to lose anymore. All that kind of stuff.
Only out of necessity.
Exactly. So he's trying to do everything he can to get out of there without any more bloodshed.
Yeah.
And it's not to be because they just, for whatever reason, decide they're not going to have it. They want to take care of business. They want to do it now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's the way it's going to go down. So here we go.
Right. And I do think it's cool that they were in that situation.
Yeah.
And then last episode and then this episode again.
Right.
They get thrust into that same situation, kill or be killed.
Yes.
Which is kind of why we're watching Walking Dead, right?
Instead of a
soap opera or
but
something.
But what's really cool about this is that, say, in a world, in an apocalyptic world, you're thinking about, okay, the dead people, the zombies. You have to worry about them. But now the realization is it's not just these zombies that we're worrying about. We have to kill, like, we have to defend ourselves from humans, too. People who are just like us, living in this world, and we're trying to survive.
Yeah, and everybody is. And you never know where they're going to come from. You never know if they're going to be in the shooting camp that's going to shoot you just because they...
Right. I mean, it's almost like the morality of humans has been poisoned by the zombies to the extent that they've become almost as evil as the mindless zombies themselves, except even more threatening because they can think.
Rules, there's no laws, there's nothing. Everything's just pure chaos.
Yeah.
I thought this was one of the most intense scenes of the show. Like, I personally find the humans armed with weapons and their minds a lot scarier than the zombies.
Because the zombies have but one thing you have to worry about. They're just going to come at you because they want to eat you. But you have no idea what a human is going
to
do.
Waiting up on the roof for you to step out. Exactly. So they can shoot
We watched a documentary about animals, and they were talking about how you can't call what an animal does to another animal or a human murder.
Yeah, because it's not predetermined.
It's not predetermined. Mm-hmm. They don't have any morals. They're mindless, basically. Mm-hmm. And I would put zombies in that category also. Like, you couldn't...
Well, yeah, then...
You couldn't call, zombie killing a person murder. It's just murder. Feeding or, or awesome or whatever.
Awesome.
For a movie, if it really happened. But, that's what
he committed awesome.
Yeah. He committed an awesome kill for this show that we're watching. But that's why we were talking earlier about Herschel killing the guy. Like, he had to. He was in a situation where he was getting shot at. The guy was shooting at Glenn, and he shot the guy. Right. And then the guy was subsequently
eaten
by zombies.
Yeah,
and a lovely buffet it was, wasn't it? When he ripped off his face.
That's the awesome part.
Oh, my goodness.
It was delicious.
It was a great kill.
It was delicious.
The zombie in the beginning of the show when Lori was in the car, he was doing anything he could to try to eat it. Like, he could mutilate himself. All to eat her brains. Like, this was a good episode. Like, I was really happy with it.
We used to have the thing, you know, every episode we'd say, what was the best zombie kill? And so this one didn't have great kills in it, per se, but I think the great thing about the zombie thing, what's that?
I mean, I'm going to be honest, they used to have many creative ways that stood out.
But the beginning, the opening episode was pretty creative. I mean, I didn't think she was going to survive that car.
No, we were just talking about the actual how they kill
the
zombies.
That's what I'm saying. She took the little, the blinker, the light blinker, ripped that off and then stuck it in his eye. I thought that was creative.
That was pretty
creative.
Not that creative to me.
But that's not really art.
I've seen a lot of...
I guess you wouldn't see
a lot of eye pokes.
Well, we haven't seen a lot of zombie deaths in a while, in a couple of episodes.
But I think that's leading to our larger point is
you wouldn't
we haven't
see it
seen a lot
in a Final Destination movie. That's what you're talking about, right? Like some kind of crazy, complicated, artistic way.
That's what we mean.
Of offing the
creativity,
zombies.
Creativity, not like using items like killing them with a coffee mug or something.
Right.
Creativity, so like in Zombieland, like dropping a piano on them or something like that.
Funny to boot.
Absolutely.
Well, if I could pick up a piano or hoist it up, I'll do it.
Here, let's set our trap.
I know.
Here's zombie.
And then we need some bait.
Yeah. So I think it would be great.
A la Roadrunner and Coyote.
But it's true, though. But speaking of that, that's why you thought the human antagonists were much more interesting than the zombies, because you never know what they're going to do or how they're going to act, and you don't know where they're going to hide.
I thought that
and
was
much more intense.
That was just a really good scene in general. I thought like the lack
of danger everywhere.
The lack of music really just added tension. It was just silence until a shot rang out.
Good point.
And then you didn't know where it came from.
I really liked the way that after Herschel shot that guy, he moaned in agony.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
It reminds me of that, that scene in Family Guy where like Peter hits his knee and just goes, ooh, forever. And he was doing it forever. And then finally the zombies got
him. Show of hands.
Who ate his face.
Did all of us go, please, just shoot him.
Yes, I don't want to hit him his misery, something.
Like you can see him coming.
I didn't want to put him out of his. I didn't want to put him out of my misery because I didn't want to hear him anymore.
I wanted him to put my ears out of misery.
Please, put him down.
For some reason, things like that like always draw me in. Like he's moaning, here come the zombies, and I always just go, what's gonna happen? And then they paid it off. Maybe like the kill of the week this week wasn't the zombie; it was that guy.
It was that
because they did take him.
Yeah.
Like, well, although they ate his face.
That's true.
They
but
ate his face.
I gotta say that the walker trying to get through the windshield was pretty nicely done. And whoever did the makeup on that or effects or whatever that was nice.
They even showed the other side in the back because you could see it crinkle up and go through as well
that
as like
was very
the
well
inside.
Done. Yeah, very well done.
Yeah,
and you know, for me, a lot of the shows I want to see that stuff. I mean, I think that's very inventive and creative in how they do it. It's gory as hell. It's disgusting. But I'm in admiration.
It's The Walking Dead.
No, but I'm in admiration of the way they're able to shoot that and have that look real.
Honestly,
what
impressive.
Was it? Was it this season, the second season, or the first season where they had like they were eating the intestines and everything? Like they were very graphic about it.
I think that
it.
Was the pilot with the horse. Yeah.
The very first.
No, there was they were eating a human being.
Oh,
they were pulling the intestines out and everything.
Oh. Tasty.
I think that was also season one.
Tastes like pork.
But I want to see more enough.
Human.
Yeah,
I think that's what they used.
You've heard.
Probably.
No, not from experience.
But I speaking of stuff like that.
Speaking of gore, if you guys don't mind, I want to talk about the gore of the guy who fell on the fence on his leg.
Oh yeah,
you know, I thought that was very gory. But the other reason why I bring it up is because John Comerford, we talked about this on the other podcast last week, was the fact that Rick now is kind of being more selective about who lets into the camp. And, you know, the big theme of last week was you can't help everyone. You know, you got to start helping just us. And it was interesting how he chose to save that guy.
Yeah, and he chose it because he said he's a kid.
Yeah.
So in his realm, as we were talking about, Shane will do whatever to whomever for whatever reason. He's got his own Shane has a different code he lives by, and because he's a kid, he's not going to do it. Or he's not going to kill him, I should say. Even though, who didn't want that guy to have his lights put out? Because
I kind of did. No, he didn't. You know,
just shoot him. Get on with it.
He was already shooting
him. Zombies were coming, you know.
I got to say, though,
shut up.
I thought that was a well-done scene because I honestly wasn't sure. Get the hatchet. I thought, oh, man, they're going to chop his leg off.
I thought they were going to hack his leg off, too.
I thought we were going to get a 127 hours scene. But we were disappointed.
Nice reference.
And they did a really good job of bringing the walkers in to create the tension and just really build that. And then I did not expect Rick to rip that thing off the fence. Didn't
no. And I was a little bit surprised that Herschel was the one that had the idea of let's off him. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like he's gone like a full 180 from
poor Herschel,
keeping walkers in the barn alive to let's off this kid. The zombies are coming.
He had faith that these like his family, his friends, his neighbors, that they were all going to be like alive again and well. Like he thought this was a sickness. That whole like and his faith was all tested. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his faith. Mm-hmm. Everything was completely gone now. So that's why he turned to drinking.
Cool,
he's like, I don't even want to live. Why? What's the reason of living? Like I'm sure he's probably contemplating. That.
Right, and it's
like,
a cool turning
life.
Point for his character.
Yeah, that's why he went crazy. But at the same time, I'm like, I find it interesting because we have Rick, who's always like he's losing a little bit of faith, but at the same time, because he has a family, he has to. And I think everybody is all this loss, all this like trying to question humanity and trying to question like what's going on, how they're going to survive. Mm-hmm. It's everybody's just trying to rationalize everything,
like rationalize motivations for living versus
living. But what I like is that Glenn has Maggie now. He has to think about Maggie, and that's why he hates himself right now. I think because he has somebody to come home to. We have Rick, who has to come home to a new baby as well as Carl and Lori.
A fetus.
And, Yes, a fetus.
Well, actually, it's not technically a fetus, is it? And it's still.
I don't know. Look that up for sure.
Oh my goodness.
Phil, is there any way
I haven't seen the clarification on sonogram? So I really
what's,
don't know.
What's
so.
The baby called when it's in?
It's a fetus.
Yeah. It's in utero.
In utero. So.
And poor Herschel, he's probably thinking he doesn't think about Maggie because Maggie's grown up. But mm-hmm. then when he came back to the house and Maggie didn't hug him, she hugged Glenn. It was like,
Yeah,
oh,
all of us had a visceral reaction when she walked right by
Herschel. That was a good pop in the screening room.
It's like, damn.
Oh,
ouch. Poor pop.
Brutal.
Tab. Wow. Herschel got tagged.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Poor guy. Like, I'm sure his whole world's turned upside down. What does he do? Like, what does he do now?
He gets drunk. By the way, I thought he should have been drunk.
Yeah, he was drinking a lot. He almost threw the bottle.
He drank like the whole bottle. And then like, 20 minutes later, he's like shooting guys and running
around. Yeah, his aim's fine. He's lost his faith, but not his aim.
But he can shoot straight with no training.
Absolutely. Although, maybe after the bottle.
Maybe that's why he decided to shoot the guy.
I shoot better when I'm drunk, man.
Yeah. So
I can't get his leg off. Shoot him.
Well, to the fairness of the show, when Tony and Dave came in, we kind of cut away from that scene, and then we came back in. So who knows? They could have been talking for 4 hours.
No, I don't know. Nice try.
Whatever.
They just didn't track that real well.
But,
well, we appreciate the effort.
This episode picked up right where it left off.
So, but let's talk about Rick's decision to keep the kid and take him back to the farmhouse. Excuse me. Good idea, bad idea. What side do you guys fall on?
Good idea. He's
good
a kid.
Good idea.
Good idea. Really?
Yeah, because.
But you were all for shooting him.
Well, no. I mean, I'm for shooting him for the show reasons.
Oh, okay.
And he's an annoying kid. But like at the end of the day,
it would hurt to lose him. You know.
Like at the end of the day, like he was shooting you, but like you didn't know at the beginning that he was a kid. And then when you see him, like he is a kid, and he's got his leg impaled.
Yeah.
I also technically think that you wouldn't be able to rip his leg off the barb of the fence
that way.
That
was insane.
That looked like a harpoon type thing.
Yeah.
Would have been stuck.
Well, that was the whole reason why they said you can't do that, because without ruining his calf muscle. So
he showed you that he did.
I thought that was a bit of a cop-out. I mean, to really get him off the fence, you would have had to amputate. But I think it makes it interesting, and it really illustrates Rick's character.
Right.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, Rick is still sticking to what makes people and humans is their ability to empathize with other people in trouble.
And even in this post-apocalyptic world when all this chaos is happening and you're questioning all kinds of morality and rationalizations, he's still trying to live by some semblance of humanity.
To keep that semblance of humanity, exactly, and probably set a good example for his son, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the big divide between Rick and Shane.
And we see that as he brings it back to the farmhouse and Shane's beside himself. You read what?
Yeah.
Creates a bigger rift between the group because Andrea, of course, believes that Shane has done more to save the group than Rick has.
Because she's delusional. I think she's in love.
You think she's delusional?
I think she's in love with Shane. Like, she's so enamored by him that she's going to agree with anything. Like, he does everything.
Because he's the alpha male, or just why? What do you think?
I really think that she really likes the bad boy nature. Seriously, because he's like probably because when she went through everything that she went through, she wanted to kill zombies. That's the way she had control of her life to be able to be stronger because she felt like she wasn't when her sister died.
She lost her sister in season one, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
I think she's really attaching herself to Shane because she wants family, and she feels like an outsider on the group.
So you think she has an affinity because he's an outsider as well?
He's also an outsider in the group, and then she thinks that maybe this is her chance to like have a unit, have some sort of family.
Well, Shane actually spoke to that. You know, he was saying to her, and I get treated the same way, and you think it's because he's working her.
He's playing her,
He's playing her,
He might be, yeah. But I think she
you
wants...
think so? And why do you say that?
He needs
just because
an ally.
Of that?
He needs an ally.
Okay, so you think it's like...
and she's a booty call.
Okay.
But he really wants Lori. Like he's obsessed with her.
So he's just,
so he will do whatever.
He's
it
getting
takes.
The second string ready.
Yeah,
and you
saying,
can't be too picky in a post-apocalyptic zombie world.
So he's creating some sort of alliance with Andrea.
Because who else will do
the other people in the tribe?
Yeah,
there's only so many fish in the bowl, I guess.
Like who
after
else?
The zombies?
Well, Carol. I told you, Carol.
Because you think last week when he was watching...
Carol's a bit older, though.
He might have a thing for Carol, so...
So you think he's even playing her, too?
No, not really, but I wouldn't put it past him, though, because he's sleeping
just
with
getting
everybody.
Her ready is a C-plan.
But who else is on Shane's side, like, in the group? who else is agreeing with them? He already burnt all his bridges.
Uh-huh.
So Andrea's the only one who's there for
maybe,
him.
Maybe Carl.
You know what's interesting?
What's interesting?
Well, speaking of that, I really love the quote that she said to him was, you know, you have such good ideas, it's just in your presentation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the second part was, I liked how he had this kind of mini meeting. You know, we joked about it on the last podcast, yeah, exactly. How they should have a Monday meeting. So everyone gets on the same page and figures out what the hell we're doing. Because apparently no one has time to talk, even though there's nothing going on for these people's lives. But although the talk wasn't as big as I would have liked to, I thought it was very well done between him and Herschel. And what was really nice was the eye contact that Rick and Herschel did have once Shane left.
Uh-huh.
You know, Rick was basically like nodding like, good job, Herschel, or something. I don't know.
I love that Herschel told Shane off.
Yeah.
Like, this is my house.
I missed that, Phil. That was a nice, you know, subtle pickup.
But even in that moment, I appreciated it. I'm glad they had that scene. I was really... Left unfulfilled that Shane didn't say anything.
I was really surprised.
It's like, why are you going to leave that hanging?
Shane is the type
of Herschel
guy.
At the end of that.
No. Yeah, Herschel says all this stuff and is like, Shane, that's it? You didn't come at him with nothing?
But I believe Shane is the type of guy, when he leaves, he's like, he's planning in his head. He's all getting
because I think he's too smart for it. He just knows he's got to pick his fights because he can't battle everybody.
But I just thought it was a wasted opportunity for a scene. It's like, that's it?
It was so lackluster
at the end of it. It's like,
I could see that. But I could
nothing.
I could definitely see. Actually, it's a good point. I mean, there's definitely a Shane Herschel thing going on too. There's a Rick Shane and a Shane Herschel, and maybe we do see some kind of a Herschel Shane thing go down. There's also a Shane Dale scene, which I think kind of echoes. I think Dale and Herschel are similar in their. Well, former Herschel from the previous episodes, especially in Dale, like kind of seemed like they would like be able to sit down and have coffee and talk about how they don't want to do anything, hurt anybody, or like do anything exciting,
have
or
coffee.
I don't know. But
they probably have tea. No.
Yeah, they probably would have decaf. But I think when Shane interacted with Dale previously, and he basically told him like, look out, bro. Like, if you mess with me, I'm going to end you.
Right.
To Dale. I think that's the conversation that he would have with Herschel if they were alone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Why,
only if they were alone.
That scene was amazing.
Yeah.
And then this scene is like petered out.
But I don't think he could have it in front of Rick.
Yeah,
but he should have. But that's what I'm saying. That would have been interesting. Have it in front of everybody in that room.
And then end the episode like that.
You want to be alpha male? You think you want to be the guy that's going to run this? Why are you backing down in front of everybody?
But he knows, like, he just knows, like
he's outnumbered.
Everyone's there, like Rick and Herschel.
But that's when you stand forward. If you want to run the show, why back
he's,
down?
He's like Scar in The Lion King. You know, he can't take on the whole pride.
He's
got to pick people away on the side, and then he's a dominant male, but he's not stronger than the group.
Even in the Wild Kingdom, you take on the dominant male in front of everybody, so they see you win. And go, okay,
I
he's
that
the guy.
Prison style.
Even like a lion wouldn't take on a pack of hyenas.
No, but you take.
They know.
What I'm saying, you take on the guy that's confronting you in front of everybody, and you
that's
best him. And then everybody else goes.
Only if you because I think Shane knows that everybody else is on the other side. He thinks that like Rick will probably stand up for Herschel and they'll break the fight up.
I thought it was a wasted opportunity. I thought it chickened out. And secondly, I'm sick and tired of him whining when he goes outside. He goes, oh, that's really, you know, I'm just alone, you know. They don't listen to me anyway. It's like, shut up.
I agree with you on that.
Stand up.
I'm sick of Shane. I'm sick of everybody whining for sure. I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah. Just drives me batty.
Okay, so so I like when I go on Twitter and everything, like I see what everybody says about Walking Dead and there's like Team Shane and Team Rick.
Right.
Because people love Shane, and I think it's like the crazy, like they like that madman crazy, like I'm gonna shoot everybody kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then Rick is just such a good guy. Like that's why I like if I were to have somebody to follow, I would follow Rick because he's when society, if it comes back together, he's the one who's going to put it together, not crazy Shane. Like,
well,
society.
Let's imagine the society that Shane would put together for a second.
Bam!
Yeah.
Right?
So,
well, it was probably
it was actually
survive.
Shane who said it. I believe it was season two, probably like episode three or something. Don't quote me on that, but. I forget who he's actually talking to, but it was along those lines, like, you know, Rick's a great leader. And actually, you know what? It was with Lori.
Mm-hmm.
That I do remember. It was with Lori, and he says, you know, Rick's a great leader in times of peace.
Right.
But these are not times of peace. You need a leader like me that's willing to do what's necessary to save the group.
Yeah, I just haven't seen it because I don't know when Rick hasn't done what he's needed to do.
I think that, like, yeah, especially this last episode and this episode, that times of peace argument may have been more true previously, but now it's like he did do what he needed to do. Yeah. He just shot two guys.
Yeah.
Because, like, he had to. He knew where it was going.
And, you know.
Like Rambo did.
And Shane's just... I'm just going to repeat this all the time. Shane's just crazy now. Like, okay, he does not believe in humanity.
Yeah.
He does not believe in humanity anymore. He doesn't see people as people anymore. It's kill or be killed.
Yeah.
So he's going to do whatever it takes, whether it's kill an innocent person. And I'm surprised he hasn't killed a child because I could see him doing it. Mm-hmm. All he cares about is him, Lori, and Carl surviving.
Well, he did look crazy a little bit here in complete denial of the reality of how exactly
delusional.
About how or what
like
would you say about that?
Style.
What would you say about that, Phil? Not delusional, but...
Illusional? But, no. You know what? You bring up a good point, though, because, in the fact that all Shane cares about is Lori and Carl, it parallels what Glenn said to Maggie.
Yeah, let's say...
You know what I mean? Is Glenn worried about becoming like Shane? Like, does he have that sort of...
I don't think he went that far, but
he's
I thought
totally
it was amazing.
Scared.
I thought that was really... I thought this was a really fascinating part, because I thought... You know, he did freeze. He froze up. And the fact that they went there with his character, because I thought it was great. Because I think Glenn is one of the more interesting characters. He started out this guy as just this, you know, pizza guy, whatever the heck he was.
Yeah.
And now he's having to deal with the shotguns and the killings and stuff.
He's the go-getter. He's like really fearless. Yeah. He's like, okay, go through, walk through the zombies and get you something. Okay, I'll do it. Like,
they send him down the water hole.
I think they treat him like Forrest Gump when he was in Vietnam. Check out that hole, Forrest.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Go in the well with the zombie.
But
okay.
Get that zombie.
Then he realizes, you know, it's because Maggie says this. That he starts thinking, what would happen to her if something happens to me?
He's like completely afraid of death. I cannot die. I have to survive. I have to.
Yeah, but
come
not
back
for his
home.
Own sake.
He also kind of jumped the gun a little bit.
But he's like,
don't
I have
think?
To come home to Maggie. That's all that matters is so that she can have somebody because she loves me, and
that
I'm
whole,
sure he cares about her too. It's like, but he has to have somebody else to think
man,
about
this
other
an
than himself.
Episode of change, huh? Like, because Glenn went from, like, fearless, like, jump down the well to get the zombie to, like, freeze up in the middle of the moment.
And
Herschel totally flipped.
And why, Phil?
Well, hold on one sec.
Pressure's on.
All right, Melina, earmuffs for you.
What? No.
Dames
what?
Is trouble.
That's it. Dames is trouble.
Oh, you
Dames
jerk.
Is trouble.
Oh, you have no idea. Yeah, we are. Wait till the cameras
and,
are
and, of
on.
Course, you know, Maggie, she doesn't understand. It's like, what? She thinks it's great. You came home for me.
Oh, yeah. She was like, she
you
took it like,
for
oh.
Me? Like, you love me back?
She was ready to get down.
That's right.
Yes,
yeah, and he's
was.
Gone. No, and, you don't get it.
And Glenn, like, I mean, Glenn shouldn't be too picky in
he
this post-zombie apocalyptic world also. I mean, how often is there going to be, like, a single female your own age that's, like, the farmer's daughter that's available? Right? I mean, shouldn't Glenn just be like, all right, look, Maggie, I think you and I should just seal the deal. Like,
damn,
you love me, I
way.
Love you too. Let's do this.
His morality's getting in the way.
Yeah, let's not be too picky, Glenn. All right? Let's,
oh, my goodness.
But you're already overachieving, Glenn, if you're watching. We'll just put it that way.
He's dating up.
Yeah.
Yeah? But, I don't think so.
No?
No.
He could do better?
Sure, he's a great guy. You just
he
said
really
he's
a great guy.
In the real
he's
world,
guy,
no,
right?
No, in the real world, yes.
Sure, yeah.
But let's look at the choices he has. There's like those guys from Jersey, I guess, that they met in the bar.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
are like the first people that we've
and
met
got
in like the last couple episodes, right?
Yeah.
Then there's the others, or like the random people from Herschel's house, who I have no idea who they are. I still don't know their names. I feel like Lost, where like survivors just keep showing up. I'm like, who are they? How many people are on this plane? How many people are on this farm? Like,
it'll
random
be,
people
it'll
keep
be
showing
interesting
up.
To see how they keep that going, because he, you know, first of all, he was so flummoxed when she said "I love you," he didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
He had no idea it was going to affect him this way, and all of a sudden, he freezes up because he's concerned about her well-being.
And now he's
just
angry
be there
now.
For everybody else. That's,
right.
That's, he's so freaked up in the mind right now, he doesn't know what to do.
And he's angry, taking it out on her, because it's like, this isn't the way I usually am. This isn't me. Like, I don't know what to do with this, and it's your fault.
Because Dame's in trouble.
Because Dame's in trouble?
But it usually is the Dame's fault.
You're in trouble, too.
What are you talking?
It's not their fault. They just
it's just there's trouble.
There's nothing they can do about it. It's because we
it's
care
so
about
it.
It's
so it's a mule in here.
Well, John, get some more girls from around next week. As you guys were talking about the people showing up and things like that, what was interesting, I liked the dinner that they had, because we've never had them, Rick's group, have dinner in the house unless it was invited by.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, this is, yeah.
And as they were out, that was like free range to go right in and do whatever they wanted.
Right.
I like the way Shane had to sit at the head of the table because he was the man.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's already planting seeds. He's already letting everybody know
planting
who's
seeds,
the man.
Ways than one.
Right?
Yeah.
Who knows who's the baby? Who's the father of the baby?
That's right.
Who's baby's mom?
But let's go, okay, yeah. So we got to. I'm going to talk Carol Daryl real quick because I thought that's the other fascinating thing about the scene. I love the way they're doing that. Daryl's going. He's so pissed off. What happened to the girl? I think I was saying it last week. That I think he's really pissed off about Sophia.
Yeah, he's put all his energy trying to help, like find Sophia because he had a bond with Carol because of his brother Merle, and like they had a bond. And his main purpose to make him feel like he mattered and he had like connection
that he was
with
part
people.
Of the group, and
yes,
yeah, that's
was
right.
To find
is that this? This I know I can do.
Yeah,
and then that was
my favorite thing about Daryl and Carol is that their names rhyme. Honestly,
that
aside,
I agree.
See, and aside from that, I could do without them. I think every time, like they've been on there, just the show drags. I mean,
see, I think I like Daryl.
Carol's all upset emotionally.
Daryl's
suddenly upset emotionally. I like him shooting zombies with the crossbow.
Yeah, I do. I
want more zombies to be shot by Daryl. I don't want to hear him whine about like I don't fit into the group. That's not the Daryl I
want
to see.
I want
he's
him
not
to,
even whining. We're
he was
said it.
He was being a whiny bitch this episode.
No, he wasn't. He was just angry. He's pissed off, like because Carol, who didn't even want to go to her daughter's funeral, I guess I could see her point, but at the same time, I feel bad. Like Daryl's upset because he doesn't understand it, and he's angry at her for not doing it because I'm sure if that happened to Merle, he'd be there for his brother. Like he wants to put everything at rest to make everything safe.
Speaking to both points, he's pissed off that Sophia died. He's pissed off that all his efforts were in vain, and he's pissed off that Carol isn't snapping out of it or more affected by it.
But she did. But snap
he doesn't. Talking about why he's angry.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is but he doesn't know how to articulate that, so it comes off as being somebody who's a whiny bitch.
And
because
angry.
he doesn't know how to say the other stuff. I agree with you. I love it when he's just when he's doing the air. I mean, that's bad stuff.
He's as good as Shane. He's as good as Shane. He gets the job done. He kills people.
And
like,
I love his little
zombies.
He used to have all these great one-liners. Terrific.
His
love that guy.
His southern accent.
And this
stuff.
Guy bugs me, but I understand what he's going through. I understand he doesn't know how to process.
I get what he's going through.
I just want to get done with it.
I just don't need that much of it.
I agree with you.
Like, just a little bit to get the point across and then see more badass Daryl.
And Carol's like traumatized because she feels so much pain and hurt. This baby, Sophia, is like the last thing she had. You know what I mean? It's her life, her baby. You know what I mean? Her child, and it's gone. Mm-hmm. Hope is gone. Everything's gone. I'm sure she's probably thinking what she could have done to keep her safe. What she could have done to help Sophia, her family, everything. But the way she reacts is to shut down. It's like, I'm feeling too much. I don't want to feel. Mm-hmm. I got to be numb to
it. I thought she had a thing for Daryl for a while, and I thought they were going to hook up. Anybody else?
No, I think she obviously cares for him. I don't know if it's going to go down that road or not.
I couldn't tell if it was like a mother-son relationship or
no,
like
I think
a,
she just has I think she
feels like a Mrs.
Think,
Robinson like younger guy relationship. I couldn't
I think
tell.
She feels tremendously grateful for the fact that he was the one that really kept the vigil going and kept looking for Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that brought hope back to her that they might find her.
Yeah.
And I thought it was impressive that she was able to take on that onslaught. I mean, he took her to task, and she just sat there and let him do his little tirade and, go have his little tantrum. Yeah. And
now,
just
what did
sat
he
there.
Say? He said some pretty harsh
horrible
stuff
things.
To her.
He did say probably everything that she probably thought in her head and rationalized. He said it, but she still stayed calm. She's still like,
because I think she realized, okay, it doesn't mean anything. He's just having his little thing. He's got all this hostility and anger. He just needs to let it out. Let him let it out. If it's out on me, that's fine. But just let him get it out.
Well,
it's either she's understanding or she's shutting down still.
I was going to say this. I think, you know, because we got that awesome episode of Daryl where, you know, he's imagining his brother and his family and all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so my thought goes to, you know, again, they're very much this organized. And I think what's worse about this whole situation for him is that it reminds him of growing up in a dysfunctional family, you know. Yeah. And obviously this whole unit, or whatever you want to call them, I would call them a family. Mm-hmm. They're terrible at functioning, especially right now. Yeah. Again, Monday morning meetings. Let's go, guys. But I think that's why he's more
every
mad.
Every family should have it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he's more mad because there was that lack of communication. Everyone just communicated, you know, he would have been happy to do it. And if it was a failed attempt, it was a failed attempt. But it was the fact that he was lied to. And it reminds him so much of his childhood.
How was he lied to?
Well, again,
by Herschel or
by
the guys?
Herschel and, okay. And you know, everybody else towards the end. You know, right. where Glenn knew and Dale knew, and they waited a day to tell them, and then it was brought to light.
They didn't know that Sophia was in there, though, did they? They just knew there was walkers.
It's a little self-pity for Dale. Who gives a crap?
Yeah, same here. Like, they took a day to tell you. Daryl, just... Yeah.
But here's the thing I did like about it, is that the fact that she stood there and took all that and didn't react to it, I think he respected that, and, and that's why I think he showed up in the house. Just that little moment there, I thought was nice.
I think so too. I just wish that little moment was like a little like half a moment, or even smaller of a moment.
You just don't like him as a whiny guy. That's
yeah. Well, and not just him. Like all the characters on the show are just like, oh, woe is me, blah, blah, blah. Like, nobody else. And why do I like? I don't
Everybody's
care.
In
like,
the
just,
same situation, guys.
Like,
get over it.
Please deal with your feelings more quickly, so we can get to like what is more interesting to me
they
about the show.
Okay. I think at this point in the season, they should have had their feelings.
No feelings. Feelings.
They should be done.
They should be done with feelings. Okay. Yeah,
wow. All right. And more killing. Woo! Well,
yes. Oh, by the way, like, I need more explosions.
Yeah.
But I thought this was a good episode. Like, okay, compared to the last one, before the break, they were stuck on the barn and they talked a lot and there was a lot of dead space. Now there's killing of zombies. We had for sure 10 zombies killed, possibly 12, and one human die.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah, I'm marking it.
You got the scorecard. Yeah, good
job. So that's pretty impressive. That's probably the most, like, more than what we've had combined before this.
Yeah.
So, out of the season. So, I'm impressed by this episode. I'm grateful. And I'm hoping that next episode's going to be, like, more, like, there's going to be more stuff going on.
Yeah, well, it seems like it would be. Well, this seems like a
more
good time
killings,
to take us
more
to
fightings.
Our break. So, Phil, if you'd be so kind...
Are we going to finish that sentence?
No, just be so kind, and that's your lead-in. If you'd be so kind, take us to our break.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives. And more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid co-workers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV after shows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Welcome back. I have my host mics muted for this quick message. Last week we did tease a special segment. Here we
what?
Go. I know. There you go. We teased a special segment last week that we had an awesome book about season one, and we were gonna do it this week. Unfortunately, here's why
we're out of time.
No, I hate giving excuses and things like that, but we're preparing for a huge, huge week of not only 45 shows here at AfterBuzz TV, but we're also preparing for the Oscars
gift suites
that we're doing. We're doing 10 shows for that. And they take so much preparation. We want to give you the best research about the Oscar-worthy movies of this year. And so our hosts are doing a lot of research. We're all working very closely with them to make sure that does happen. And so, unfortunately, this got left by the wayside. But I'm putting it on Ben's hands specifically. Ooh, Ben,
not gonna happen.
You're gonna read this book in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, you're gonna read this book.
No,
he's on no.
Oh God, we're all doomed. Melina, can you please read this book? We've got like 4 episodes left, probably. And we gotta get through this book.
Which book are we talking about?
Some book that he found at an airport.
All right, give it to me.
I understood there'd be
give
no
it
meeting.
To me. I'll take
what
it
is? All right, for those of you tuning in for the first time, what it is? It's a companion book for the first season. It literally breaks down the comic book to the season one and how they filmed it. And
for the show?
Yes, for the show.
I'll do it. Yeah.
All right, Melina, you're in charge.
That's it. She's on it. That's it. It's gonna happen then. It's bigger than all of us.
Consider it done.
The comic, right? It's the comic.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's got actual words in it. A lot of words.
Yeah. More words than the comic.
But it's kind of
how many pages?
I don't know. But you just read whichever ones. You read
150.
Every other one.
There's a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
Oh. Easy.
It's page turner.
I like that sound effect.
Thank you.
This is my first time on AfterBuzz.
Yes, and fabulous job. We're very thankful to have him. So speaking of John, your first time, give us your first prediction.
Oh, man. Instead of just going straight up predictions, I'm going to go with what I would like to see.
Okay, great.
Merle.
Let's do that.
I want to see Merle come back. I think he's going to at some point. They've got to. There was no confirmed kill on Merle.
Right.
Hopefully he comes back with something cool like a hook or like a Hellboy type hand or a RoboCop. Nice. I don't know. Something really cool for Merle would be awesome.
Some Inspector Gadget.
Yes.
like a chainsaw arm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I want something chainsaw arm.
How is he supposed to get this?
Evil Dead?
Evil Dead, yes. Perfect. Evil Dead. Bruce Campbell chainsaw arm would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
His boomstick.
Sorry.
let's see what else. We got Rick and Shane. There's got to be some sort of showdown.
Well, we saw they're gonna get into a little tussle,
and it looks like it's gonna happen sooner rather than later.
Well, according to the preview, it's gonna happen next week.
Yeah,
and
which seems like jumping the gun a little bit to me, because that seems like it might be something you'd save completely, like the full thing for the season finale.
Well, maybe this is just a little teaser, and having the big showdown with the guns and the whole thing.
Having Rick and Shane like this next week seems like it might be almost like if you were having a wrestling pay-per-view and you had the WWE Heavyweight Championship match before the end of the pay-per-view. And, you know, if that's what the people are waiting to see, it doesn't make much sense to see Rick and Shane at episode 10 rather than at the end of the season.
But I think it's interesting to see the tension, like, because you know it's there. They're like, throughout this whole entire time, they have not been acknowledging it. Rick knows that Shane slept with his wife.
Yeah.
And he doesn't acknowledge it. He's just really calm and cool. And now it's going to come to a head now. And it's going to be, I want to see it because I want to see Rick react. Because what Lori said was, Shane thinks I'm his.
Yeah.
Shane thinks Carl's is his too, and this baby is his.
She was literally
being a little bit conniving. Also.
Literally in his ear.
Yeah.
Literally in like Lady Macbeth. I mean, this is like,
It seems like that. Like she wants one has to go. Mm-hmm. Like Rick or Shane has to go.
Yeah.
So I think she's trying to instigate it so that it's like, okay, we got to get rid of Shane.
I'm trying do my bidding.
So now they're gonna square off, and it makes me wonder if. Oh, nothing but trouble.
Nothing but trouble. I have a request.
Does that mean Dane?
For what I would like to see.
What's that?
Can we get off the farm?
Get off the farm.
Good God.
Get off the farm.
Yeah, we've been
every
wondering.
Single week.
Yeah.
Every week.
I hear you.
Get
yes, it's true.
Get off the farm.
But if you were in the same situation, would you get off the farm?
No, but I'm not, and it's a TV show. So get off the farm.
Yeah.
Please.
I have to say.
And have less feelings.
What I was thinking, there's so many scenarios that they could have gotten off the farm. Like, the well was already tainted by the zombie. Like, they could have, how are they going to drink? Like, there's so many scenarios where they had to go. They could have gone.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, the scene at the bar, which was, I think, what we're all, positively reacting to from last week and this week that carried over. They're at the bar off the farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's, so much more possibility.
I think what we liked is that something happened.
From the humans.
That's what we're excited about.
Yeah, exactly.
Something happened.
But it's like when you're not on the farm, that something's going to happen, which is get off the farm.
Yeah, get off the farm. We're hoping that backup does come for his face? Ronald, Roger.
The kid?
Whatever.
With the
leg. Kid. The kid with the leg.
The kid with the leg.
Kick him off.
Yeah, I hope he gets something. All right, well, that'll do our podcast for Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 9, Trigger Finger. Got it right. All right, so where can our fans find you?
Real Molina, at Real Molina.
Real Molina. Yes. There we go. John, where were they seeing you?
Follow me at The Real Morrison.
At The Real Morrison. Phil, where do people find you?
They can find me on AfterBuzz TV.
There you go.
All right.
Ben, they shouldn't even be looking for you.
I think I have a Twitter, and if I do, I spelled my own name wrong.
All right.
So it'll do them no
you
good.
You have to do that sometimes because your real name's taken.
It was. I had to add an extra T.
All right. Yeah. And I'd rather you not go looking for me. So on behalf of Melina Perez, John Hannigan, Ben Bottomley, and Phil Zvitek, I'm your host, John Comerford. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Oh, buzz you later. Are we supposed to?
Where's... Oh,
we got...
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.